Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Indian Conflict Resolution Podcast, hosted by the online Indian Journal of Peace and Conflict Resolution. Today, we have a very special guest. I'll be talking to Miss Arinola Elizabeth Knight Omolo, all the way from Kenya. In fact, it's a great matter of pride for us that she's the only African Peace Fellow, a Rotary Peace Fellow from the only African Peace Center, which is the Makere Peace Center. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. And yes. We are delighted to have you in our podcast. So how are you today, Elizabeth?
Hi, thank you very much, Professor. I am very well, thank you. It's a little bit cold here. I'm speaking to you from Kenya. We have a geographical administrative area called Kajiado County, where the natives are the Maasais, who are usually like the cultural mark or the cultural emblem of this country. Narrowing down, I'm in a town called Ongata Rongai. Over to you, Professor.
Great. Let us start from, what motivated you to become a peace practitioner?
Well, that's a very interesting and almost personal question. Actually, I didn't realize that I was actually a peace practitioner until I got into the classroom. I mean, knowledge is very important, and sometimes you just need somebody or something to trigger the fact that you actually know something. My late grandmother used to tell us that close the book of your heart. And this did not literally mean that the heart has book pages. Rather, to guard our hearts and keep away certain issues to ourselves. Now, it is this that helped me model a wall of peace in my mind. So the idea is to use video information sessions to trigger the urge to commit to the wall of peace, so that the individual builds that wall of peace within this system that he or she calls his or her body, okay? And it has worked for me.
Great.
So That's
really nice, because it's really very interesting to hear that, Arinola. In fact, your social change initiative, what is it dubbed as in your language? What is it known as?
Pamoja Tujenge ukuta wa amani. That's in Swahili. It's one of the national languages in Kenya.
All right. And as I understood from you, this initiative uses video information sessions to build the capacities of the household to become the agents of peace. Is that right?
Yes.
So could you give us a few examples from some households to share it with the listeners, and some more peace activists would get inspired by your examples and perhaps could learn from you and your experiences?
So I'll give you two examples. Mm-hmm. One in Liberia,
right,
and another one here in Kenya.
Okay.
So my first gig was in Liberia, where we partnered with Peace Fellow from Liberia, who is a good filmmaker, who uses film for peace.
Right.
And I wrote this script that was meant to in a natural way talk about positive peace. Peace is generally known as the opposite of conflict. We usually forget about the soft aspect of conflict, which is most dangerous. we have seen very many people, like in Kenya, very many reports on the media that men killing their wives and children, women killing their husbands and children. So that is an element of violence. Now, the absence of violence, the absence of physical violence, is negative peace.
Correct.
So positive peace is more holistic. And when we look at my positive peace awareness, argues that each individual is a system. Just the same way, when we look at negative peace, we're actually looking at it in a political context. Politics is played in a system. So now I try to narrow it down to the individual members of a household, and I tell the community, look, before the title, before being a businessman, before being a manager, before being a politician, before being a doctor, and so on, you are an individual in the household. You wake up from somewhere and you go back to sleep somewhere. So let us deal with this system that you call your body, be it a mother, a father, a sister, a brother. So now this video was developed around six characters: a mother, a father, a teenage girl, a teenage boy, a male child, and a female child. Why? Because this also shows the different transitions in life. There's the child, there's the teenager, then there's the adult. Now, two scripts were developed. One was acted by librarians, and another one was animated. So I have been convening representatives of self-help groups in the communities and showing the two videos. Now, while the video was acted in Liberia, it speaks the same language in Kenya. They relate to it. They feel what the characters in the video are feeling. And this sets the prelude for us to discuss the eight pillars of positive peace.
Right.
Because positive peace, eight pillars.
Yeah.
So now, the feedback that...
I just want to understand this. You are saying the video is translated in two languages simultaneously. Am I right in understanding this?
No, it is not. They're both in English.
Yes.
But the video, one is animated, you know, the cartoon?
Right.
And then the other one is acted. You know, is memorized and acted by people playing the roles, taking role playing father, mother.
But what language? You
know, both of them are in English.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. It's not in Swahili or any native language.
No.
Okay.
No, both of them are in English, yeah.
Okay, understood. Okay, please continue.
Yeah, so as we speak now, what has been happening is that after every session, I give the participants a sticker, a small sticker, the size of the palm of the hand.
Okay.
And I tell them, if you commit to positive peace, because positive peace is holistic. It's dealing with the individual's heart and making that decision. That I am not going to be a party to violence, to myself, to my emotions. I'm not going to be a party to. So yeah. Now what I've been doing is visiting these households and just going to see whether I can see the sticker anywhere. And what I have witnessed...
That's interesting.
Is that... Some have it on their laptop. Some have it right on the wall in their living room.
Okay.
Some have it right at the door of their bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Some have it at the door of the entrance. So it's interesting because for me, I feel that what I'm doing is a success because they have, you know, they recognize and they appreciate that. Right. And another testimony that I can give is I'm being called. I receive phone calls from people I don't know, and they just tell me, we heard that you gave a talk, you taught the community. We also want you to come and talk to us.
How lovely.
A case in point is on Saturday. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, I've been invited by community members in an area that is relatively far from here,
right,
to go and speak to them. They've organized themselves. They just asked me, do we need to pay you to speak to us? And I told them, no, I only need to come and find people to talk to.
Yeah, you know? That's wonderful.
Yeah, because, yeah.
But, you know, Arinola, it's this kind of initiative, don't you think it's, you know, comparatively easier to be done and initiated in a smaller place? You know, in a smaller place with fewer people and not a very large area, you know, because what I understand as a peace scholar, you know, it's very difficult to change the attitudes, the values, the emotions, you know, not only of the humans, but also of the institutions, organizations and structures, you know. So how do you, you know, inculcate the positive peace, because positive peace integrates all the other values, you know, be it your moral values, your ethical values, your cultural values, you know, it is an integrative and, like you rightly said, a holistic force. But how do you inculcate this? Because changing of attitudes and values is not at all easy.
Absolutely. It's not easy. I mean, change of values, anything to do with human behavior, anything to do with cultural behavior, mm-hmm. has everything to do with the soft. You know, it is easy to change the hard stuff. It's easy to implement the hard projects. If it is building a school, you see it there.
Right.
But now behavior change projects generally are very difficult and people shy away from them. But they can be easy when you know and recognize the, especially the people's way of life. So I am using a game.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the African culture generally,
mm-hmm.
games are a very easy way of you know, relaxing, and it seems to be a common language,
right?
The language of game.
Absolutely.
So I have what I call the yarn game. It's the game of strings,
mm-hmm.
that I use for teaching the community about the pillars of positive peace, the 8 pillars.
Mm-hmm.
And from this game, usually influences of each of the pillars just emerge naturally, you know. So that is the common language that I have experienced implementing this social change initiative. So I have incorporated games.
Okay, so could you tell us about this game? How do you play this game? How many people do you require to play this game? And are people open to talking about their personal grievances or emotions or feelings to you? You know, because you come as somebody maybe from another city or, you know, another place. Do they open up to you once they know that you are a peace activist and you're a positive peace changer?
At the beginning, people come to the meetings. Like, so far in any given convening, the largest number I've had is 200.
Okay.
So 200 people in a hall.
My God, that's
a lot.
So when
the people come in, yes, when the people walk into the room,
right,
they're already used to people coming talking to them about peace. But the first thing I do is I try to make it like we have been together a few hours ago. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I do this by, as they walk in, the video is playing. So they walk in, sit, waiting. So by the time I open my mouth to speak and welcome them and introduce myself, the video has triggered something and has placed them somewhere. They relate with the video.
Right.
So when I start a conversation, I tell them, I'm only going to talk to you for 10 minutes. And they make sure it's 10 minutes or less, depending on the group. And then I open up, let's talk. I tend to make them co-facilitators as opposed to me being a facilitator. That's one. And then, as I said, entertainment, games, those are very, I see them as very impactful tools to engage with the community. So I end up being now that figure that they can trust with their personal issues. I've had situations where women come up, and I've seen this more with the women. They come up and tell me that, you know, Elizabeth, just the other day, my husband beat me up. He's been doing this for so many years. They come sharing with me very personal issues. The challenge that I face as an individual, I ask myself, okay, so now this one seems to be now a burden to me because they see me as a solution, yet it is not my expertise. So that has given me an opportunity to think beyond and think of other experts who, after those sessions, can come and talk to these people that I can refer these people to. So it's opening for me opportunities to network as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you it is the most fulfilling activity I do. I make sure every weekend there's something I'm doing on positive peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very fulfilling, although I'm an individual, I'm a human being, but then I realize, okay, so this is what my calling is. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I need to read. I need to understand gender issues, you know. I need to understand, you know, criminal issues. I need, because so many other issues are coming up that I'm learning that people don't know. I need to, it has also increased my connection with the Rotary International Office. And as we speak today, I am also, you know, nominated to go for the peace leadership training that will be in Nepal. Okay, a 3 days training. Yeah. Because of the initiatives that I am doing. And, you know, I'm doing this for free.
Right.
You know, I feel I am like that seed that needs to, you know, spread. You know, I'm just pollinating my seed of peace in my community. And I believe it's going to spread, it's going to join, and it's going to be like some kind of a bushfire as we move along. And especially now, Kenya is, I think, if you've been following the news, Kenya is not, it's really, I don't know whether I can say it's fragile, but it's not a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's deteriorating.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned about the wall of peace, or rather a virtual wall of peace, you know, which you want the people to have in their mindsets. I'm sure it works with the generation next, so to say, or the tech kids. You know, how can the young kids be motivated to become peace builders? Because, you know, as they say, catch them young. Make the world a better place, a peaceful place. You know, we should invest in peace. and read more about peace literature than invest and put all our resources in war and violence and crime. What would you advise this younger generation? How can they be an agent for positive peace?
Through the video. Right now, many children, and especially after COVID, many children have access to mobile phones. They have access to the internet.
Right.
And what Tech Kids did, Tech Kids helped me to develop a software. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm currently mobilizing resources to get partners who can make this a reality. They developed a prototype that I have tried, that I feel if out there, children can be able to access. So it is like like a brick game.
Okay.
That children can, and the idea is, remember I said there's the animated video, right?
Right, right.
The animated video is cartoonized. They're cartoons, okay? Mm-hmm. And I have tried it with my 9-year-old son, and he really loves it. He keeps watching it.
Okay,
and, and for me, it's like, it's like pilot testing, you know?
Okay.
So what I have in mind is if this can be, that this animation can be uploaded on various social media platforms, Google for Kids, that kids can easily search it and get it. And then they watch the animation. And at the end of the animation, there's a place they can click to build the wall. And then we see how wide this wall will, the geographical coverage. So I'm still looking for resources. Already I've seen the prototype is working. So if, for example, you are in India and you click and you build a wall, it will show that there's somebody build the wall in India, in the US, and so on. So we want to see in which areas people are ready to build this wall of peace, you know?
That's
interesting. And my future plan for that is that we invest in war, and we need to invest in peace.
Absolutely.
So maybe I could, after the call, and we could talk about this a little bit more, just for you to get the context of it and to get a feel of it, because I feel it can also be a tool for mobilizing resources for peace projects. So that is my long-term objective.
Okay. So do you circulate any literature on peace, or you just have your workshops and meetings and then you end up in that? Like, how do you maintain a continuity of your activities? Like, for instance, you took a workshop one day of 200 people, and then the same people, do they meet you up again after a few months, or you meet them up? How does it have a continuity?
So the best I can do right now is to just do follow-up. So that means as long as I can be able to facilitate my transport, I will go and visit, all right? And you see, mostly it is around Nairobi that is not very much off. So let's say it is just my part of my cost share. Towards seeing that this happens, and somebody out there can see the need to partner and support my peace agenda.
Right.
So yeah, that's probably, I'm just doing the best I can do within the resources that I have.
Because for this you would need, actually, like you rightly said, you need resources, you need more people to work with you, you need a team. Because, you know, of course, each initiative is very good. And once you speak to them, it goes into their mind. That's fine. But then somebody has to keep continue letting the people know that this is what is needed, you know, and to maintain that, you need some, perhaps some more resources and some more team workers and peace workers, you know, to keep maintaining that memento and momentum with the people. So that's very interesting. You mentioned about a game. Could you give us a bit information about what exactly was that peace game in which keeps people engrossed, and tell them about peace, you know, after that game? Is it a particular game that you play?
Yeah, it is. So let me say that what are the tools that we need for the game? I have the pillars of positive peace printed on large cards. So I have 8 cards, right? Because there are 8 pillars of positive peace.
Right.
And then I have a yarn, a ball of yarn, all right?
Okay.
So we get into 8 groups depending on the number of participants. Either we can do it indoor or outdoor, all right?
Okay.
And you get into 8 groups. And each group determines, you know, which one is the most important pillar of peace.
All right.
They choose, and they choose.
Okay.
Then the way, you know, the web, you know, the spider web.
Right.
So it is again that, okay, so which one is the next important and so on. And we end up creating a web of all these pillars of peace. And then we try, okay, so which one do you think is still the most important? So the one that shouts the most, we put the rest down. And then they realize, no, we need all the pillars. The web is going down. The web is breaking. And the game goes on and on and on. And then we do some music and we dance. And you find them really talking about this. And that is how the ambassadors for each of these pillars naturally arise from the group.
Wow, that's really fantastic. It's really very interesting. And, you know, I too want to play that game, Elizabeth. It's wonderful.
Welcome to Kenya. let's play it.
Yeah, and let's build more peace activists, and let's get, you know, it's really wonderful to hear from you and your experiences. You know, what a wonderful world you are creating in your own little way. And it was indeed wonderful talking to you, Elizabeth. And I look forward to continuing this academic exchange converting this academic exchange into a practitioner's game, so to say. So it was lovely to have you on our podcast, and look forward to continuing this good work with you, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for hosting me.
Thank you, listeners. I hope you had a great time listening to Elizabeth and her wonderful work that she's doing in Kenya. We wish her all the best, and see you next time in the next episode of the OIJ PCR podcast. Bye-bye.